Please take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 this morning. Let's look to the Lord before we look to His Word. Father, we just thank You for this chance to study Your Word again. Thank You for the opportunity to gather in freedom, to sing, to give, to worship You in so many ways. Now, as we look at Your Word, help us to do so with sincerity, that was not be just a mental exercise, but we would realize the spiritual implications of this, that You would help me to clearly explain Your truth, that our hearts would be wide open to hear what You have to say, that we would be receptive and obedient to respond to Your truth. Change us to be more like Your Son, I ask in Jesus' name. I've been telling my message this morning, what we need to remember, what we need to remember. How do you remember important details or tasks? What are some ways that you do that? There you go. You get somebody else to call or text to remind you. What else? Write it down, okay? Well, what's that? Repetition. Make a habit of it, okay? Yeah, good. You know, I always think of, we watched It's a Wonderful Life around Christmas time. And remember Uncle Billy? What did he do? He had strings on all his fingers. The problem is he had so many strings he couldn't remember which one was which and lost sight of that. For me, Google Calendars has been a lifesaver. And I've figured out that you can set reminders. You can even set, you know, multiple reminders. You can set the time and when and where and how. It's been great things, you know. Not just, you know, important details to do or remember to do, but also, you know, praying for people's birthdays, anniversaries, all sorts of stuff that you can remind yourself to do. And why? Because those things are important. We want to remember those. And Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 6, I think it's kind of like a helpful reminder of some important instructions that we need to remember, things that are still important to remember today. 2 weeks ago, we learned from our study of the previous passage, chapter 2, about realizing the value of wisdom by coming to the realizations of finding the payoff of wisdom. That is, if we treasure wisdom now, we'll get the payoff later. It will preserve us. It will give us understanding. And then finding the protection of wisdom. If we get wisdom now, we'll be protected from the temptations of easy money and easy sex and the results in going down the right paths of life rather than the wrong paths and being cut off or really early death. Now Solomon continues to instruct his son in this third parental appeal or third lecture, you could call it, of what he needs to know now for life. And from his instructions, I think we can learn what we need to remember by obeying the three instructions that he gives in these verses. Now, really, verses 1 through 12 are kind of the first main section, and I didn't try to preach 12 verses today because there's so much jam-packed into here. They're each of them are couplets, so there's the verse is a command, and then the result is given. And we're going to look at the first three of those today, and then next week we'll look at the second three. But it's just so much practical instruction that is given. Things that we need to know for life here. So what are these instructions? The first instruction we find in verses 1 and 2. Don't lose the instructions. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So again, Solomon is speaking as if to a young person, his son. Now, as we saw from the beginning of chapter 1, this book, though written as instructions for young people, is applicable for anyone because even the wise can learn from instruction. And so this is something that we should all pay attention to. It says, do not forget my law. Now, he's not talking about the Torah. He's not talking about God's law here. He's talking about his instructions, his commands. The second half of the verse there, but let your heart keep my commands, or literally to guard my commands or my instructions here. So he speaks to, you know, forgetting the mind and your heart. So the internal, the whole person needs to be involved in this. The result being, in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. If you obey, a young person obeys their parents' instructions according to the word of God, it's the first commandment with promise. The Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, promises that you will live long in the land. Now, Paul takes that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, and he broadens its application to living long on the earth. Children, if you obey your parents, you will live long on the earth. Why is that? Well, if you listen to what your parents, who've been around a few more years than you have, they have some practical advice and insight onto life. And they will probably save you from a world of pain and suffering if you would but listen to them. And so that's why Scripture tells us to listen. And ultimately, God's Word, God is the source of the authority because He's given parents. And ultimately, you're listening to God. You know, that's why Ephesians talks about obeying their children in the Lord, for this is right. And then there's the blessing that is given. Why should we obey God? Well, because God made everything. He knows how everything works. And as one person has defined it, truth is what corresponds to reality. You want to live in the truth, in the way things really are, you need to listen to God's Word. And when you do, the benefit, it's not just, you know, because you're obeying God. I mean, that should be reason enough, right? But even there's a greater benefit, or another benefit, is that we would live a long life. Now, notice it's not just a long life, though. Not long days and long life. It says, and peace they will add to you. Because if you had a long life, but it was filled with pain and suffering, how valuable would you really think life was? Not very, right? I mean, you see example after example in Scripture. I mean, Job and Elijah and others that, you know, they think life is no longer worth living. And even asking God to end it for them, they don't go so far as to take their own life. That's self-murder. But they despair of life. In fact, Moses in Psalm 90 talks about if you live, you know, the average lifespan is 70 years, and if you live longer than that, what do you get? It's kind of a depressing attitude, but he says you just see more pain and suffering, right? I mean, you see things, more hard things. You live long enough, all your friends die. I mean, that's why you need to go out and make new friends, by the way. But I digress. You know, there's the longer you live, the more you see, and the harder it becomes. Yet the promise here is the one who keeps God's law, they live long, but they have peace-filled days. Their lives are not full of strife, pain, and suffering. I mean, yes, generally, this is a general principle here. Some people do have things that they have to live with. But generally speaking, you follow the Lord, you obey His Word, and you will not only live longer, but you'll have a much more peaceful life. I mean, you know how to get along with people and have good relationships as much as it depends on you. And there'll be benefits. So don't lose the instructions. I've talked to you about my Legos before. Some of you know I have Legos from the 80s and early 90s, the castle Legos. And some of those I got from my brothers that didn't want them anymore. But the problem is they gave them to me without the instructions. And so, I kind of knew how they went together, but they didn't, you know, I didn't have it quite perfectly. And it wasn't until I discovered that on the internet, you can go, you can download all the instructions for any Legos ever made. Pretty cool. So I did that. In fact, I downloaded instructions for Legos that I didn't have, and then I took the pieces that I got, you know, I had or I bought more, and I made new sets. That's pretty cool. I mean, now I've talked to you about how I discovered what some of my Legos are worth, and it's like it's given them a new life. Because what tends to happen with Legos over time if you don't keep them in the sets? They get all lost, jumbled around. I mean, we are struggling with this right now. We have a new newbie when it comes to Legos, and he's not very careful with his Legos, and we have to have some rules about where they go and where they don't go, and where, you know, when can you play them and when you can't play with them. It's a process, because eventually you lose it all, you lose the instructions, and let me tell you, there's some instructions around our house that are not being treated very well, and they're not going to last, but I do know where to get new ones. But anyway, you know, eventually it's going to get to the point where if you don't remember how it's done, then how to put it back together, then they just become a bunch of random Legos that will one day be thrown away, given away, whatever. They've lost their value. But if you keep those together, they actually can be quite valuable someday. How much more in life? Have you lost the instructions for life or from living from God? You know, the Bibles do us no good if we don't read them and if we don't obey them. You know, the person whose Bible sits on the shelf is the same as if one who doesn't have a Bible. You know, the Bible has been called basic instructions before leaving earth, right? I mean, this is everything we need to know for life and godliness. Are you using it? Have you stopped obeying what you once tried to live by? Maybe, you know, your parents' wisdom instruction, which ultimately, as they're giving you truth, it's coming from God. Have you stopped living by it? Are you keeping or guarding God's instructions, His commands from in your heart so that you will obey them? This is why we need regular reminders through reading God's Word, Bible study, and Sunday school, and preaching the Word of God, you know, that we would continually be reminded of the truth that we need to know for living by. You understand the result of doing so is a long, peace-filled life. You follow God's Word. There are benefits both now and forever. 1 Peter 3:10 tells us that says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord on the righteous and his eyes or ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." You want long life? You want peace in your life? You need to listen to God's Word. That's part of His instruction. But even more importantly, you need to listen to His Word for everlasting life, right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should have what? Everlasting life." You want your life to last forever? You need to listen to God's Word now. Because there is coming a day when it will be too late and you will find eternal death rather than eternal life. You need to trust in Jesus today in the way of salvation through Jesus and His death for your sins and resurrection, proving that God accepted His sacrifice. Have you done that? If not, I'd love to talk to you about that more. Have you found the instructions for life? 2 Peter 1:3, it says, "All as His divine power is given unto us, all things that pertain to life and godliness." 2 Timothy 3:16, 15, you know, it says, "The Holy Scriptures will make you wise unto salvation." Then verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable," meaning this is what it's good for. "For doctrine, is teaching you what to think. For reproof, teaching you what not to think. For correction, teaching you what not to do. And for instruction in righteousness." And it even tells you the purpose for it. "That the man of God," or the person of God, "may be complete," thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. I don't know about you, but I like being ready for anything. For every good work. All because of the Word of God. Are you living by them, though? It's not enough to just know it. You need to live the truth of God's Word, as 2 Peter 3:5-7 tells us, to add to your faith virtue to knowledge, and knowledge to self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and brotherly kindness, and all those things. Growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you keeping and following the instructions? Don't lose the instructions. That's the first instruction. The second instruction, dress appropriately and attractively in verses 3 and 4. "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Solomon here is instructing his son to not let mercy, and the mercy here is the covenant faithfulness, is the chesed, the God keeping His promises. Sometimes translated love, but it's really more, you know, it's love that keeps, has results. And then there's truth. This is firmness or faithfulness, or you could say loyalty. So you could say love and loyalty. And you know, these concepts are related throughout Proverbs, like Proverbs 20:28. ties these two together. It says, mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. Proverbs 14:22. Do they not go astray who devise evil, but mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. And in fact, according to Exodus 34, verses 5 through 6, these are characteristics or attributes that come from God. It says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. So these are characteristics that come from God. He is the source of those. So when he says, don't let those leave you or forsake you, they should be your constant companions. I mean, we take our phones with us everywhere. How about we, more importantly, take mercy and truth with us? Far better companions, even than our phones. How do you do that? By binding them around your neck. So as an outward ornament, as I read those verses earlier in verse chapter 1, verse 9, a graceful ornament. It makes you, beautifies you. It's almost the idea of back in Deuteronomy 6:8 talks about binding God's word on you. And they took that literally. If you've ever seen, they're called phylacteries, right? Even the Orthodox Jews today still do this. Well, they have these little boxes that are filled with Scripture, and they bind them on their foreheads and on their arms. And they wrap this, and they do this when they pray every day. Here's some examples. Even the military, soldiers, the faithful will stop, put these on, and have their morning prayers. Here's an example of what the Scripture put inside and then sealed up. There's some old examples that they found. You see how worn they are. Greatly utilized. I mean, they did that literally, but the point here isn't literally. It's a figurative use to bind them around your neck, that they would actually beautify you when you're keeping God's word. And it says, writing them on the tablet of your heart. So, as if you think of your heart as this blank slate and write them down there. Now, this is inward. You can't see someone's heart. So, but his point is both outward and inward, that it would be a part of you, that you would continually remember this. Chapter 7, verse 3 says, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Talking about keeping his commandments and living and obeying them. And what is the result? The result is that you would find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Favor being grace. It is from grace both from God and man. You think of some of the examples in the Scripture, like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, or Joseph, he found favor from God and man. Moses, another example in Exodus 33:12, he receives favor from God. Mary in Luke 1:30, she receives grace or favor from God. Why? These are individuals who are living as God calls them to. They're seeking to be faithful, and God blesses them with it. And not only that, it is he holds them in high esteem. And the word for high esteem here is the word for success. It's the idea of they have a good reputation, both before God and man. Throughout Scripture, there's several individuals who find favor with God and man, one of them being Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:26. Jesus, the one maybe you think of, he grows in favor with, as he grows in favor with God and man, in Luke 2:52. But interestingly, Romans 14:18 tells us that says, he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. when we serve Christ, not only do we find favor with God, but we find favor with man. I think it's interesting, the more I've read and heard the stories of the persecuted, often the persecuted, they're being persecuted not by their friends and neighbors. It's usually people that don't really know them. Because the people that know them are like, these are great people. Why would you do this? And even some cases where unbelievers are standing up for these believers saying, like, these are great people. Why would you do this to them? I remember one case where these, in India, these girls were being persecuted by, Hindus and, trying to get them to recant and everything. And the neighbors finally stood up for them and said, you need to stop this. These are great, great girls. This is wrong. Even as unbelievers, you find favor with God and man. Both inwardly and outwardly, this it shows it off. True beauty. Dressing appropriately and attractively. As a kid, I didn't have the best fashion sense for a while. We all go through that awkward stage. Unfortunately, my mom cataloged it with pictures and put it on her walls. I don't know why. Our eighth grade pictures, I think it was seventh grade, eighth grade. Can't remember. That really awkward period, and that's what she chose to put on her walls. Like, I did not look good then. I mean, I had these huge glasses. I wore, like, all denim, that stage. And my hair was like this comb over. And, there's the acne that's coming out at that point. But only a mother can love, right? Even before that, I went through a phase where, I loved the high socks. And I hated to wear shoes without the high socks. Because it was uncomfortable. You cared more about, comfort than you did about fashion. And, it took me quite a few years to go to the no-show socks. I had to learn to dress appropriately and attract. I mean, have you ever been to, showed up to an occasion and you missed the memo or something and you're like, feel like you're out of, you're dressed, either overdressed or underdressed? It's kind of an awkward feeling, right? I mean, I had that one time we went to a anniversary party. It was like everybody else there was like kind of dressed to the nines. It wasn't that bad, but I mean, we were it was the middle of summer. We were dressed in shorts and t-shirts. So like, okay, I wish I'd dressed a little nicer, but oh well. You learn over time how to dress appropriately. Hopefully, some of us do. Some of us to better degrees than others. To dress appropriately and attractively. Have you learned how to dress appropriately and attractively spiritually? 1 Peter 3 talks all about that. I mean, first it talks to women, how to dress, what's more important, your outside or your inside? And it talks about how God values the gentle and quiet spirit more than he does the arranging of the hair. And not to diminish it, it says merely. I mean, so it's not saying you can't do that. But the focus should be on the inward beauty. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And then he goes on to talk about not just women, though, like husbands, how you should treat others and how we should treat each other. And then he gives the you want long life, then here's how you should, what do you say and not say to each other? Keep your tongue from evil and lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. I mean, that's beautiful to God. That's what he wants. Are mercy and love and truth and loyalty adorning you outwardly and inwardly as you seek to become more like Christ? They should, right? Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how as we become more and more like Christ, we learn to speak truth with one another in love. So that we help others grow up to look like Christ. This is our goal of our spiritual growth. Are they your constant companions, mercy and truth? Or are they only Sunday dress-up clothes? They're really just for show. They're not really the real you. Are you finding favor or grace and high esteem from God and man the more these godly attributes define your life? You think of all the examples they gave of Samuel and Noah and Joseph. I mean, these are people we should look up to as godly individuals, and many of these are included in the Great Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But people will think well of you if you have a godly character. I mean, yeah, there are going to be those that, you know, your godliness rubs them the wrong way. But generally speaking, people like godly people. I mean, they may not choose to be like you, but they will look up to you. Do you realize that God sees the real you? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, after the Word of God exposes our hearts, it says that there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. There's coming a day when we have to give account of ourselves. Who, you know, God will sees and knows the real you. How are you living? You know, people around us see it. Our kids see it. Our neighbors, our coworkers. I mean, you can hide for a while, but people tend to get a pretty good beat on who you really are eventually. Are you dressing appropriately and attractively? Second instruction there. Third instruction, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Third instruction here is to depend on God for directions. Solomon is instructing his son to trust in or to depend on the Lord. This is a theme throughout Scripture, throughout Proverbs, Proverbs 22:19, Psalm 37. Here's several. If you turn there, Psalm 37. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring you forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the evil man who brings wicked schemes to pass. The idea of trusting God, waiting on Him, seeing Him answer. Jeremiah chapter 17. Another great passage says, blessed is man, verse 7, who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. Makes you think of Psalm 1. And will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease yielding fruit. The picture when you trust in the Lord is if you're a tree that is planted in a well-watered place, and you have all the nutrients you need. In contrast, that just prior talks about the one who doesn't is like a shrub in the desert, shriveling up and dying. That's when we trust in ourselves. We need to trust in Him. But how much do you trust? In with all your heart, it says. Not just some, but all. Focus here on the internal. And lean not on your own understanding. It's own understanding, it's your mind, your intellect. You know, he's going to say in the very next verse, and we'll look at next week, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's our tendency, right? When we trust in ourselves, we depend on ourselves. Proverbs 28:26 tells us, as a fool to trust in your own heart. Jeremiah 9:23, not to glory in ourselves. Romans 12:16, don't be wise in your own opinion. Those are our natural tendencies, right? And Scripture is saying, don't do that. Don't trust in yourself. Susan says, instead, acknowledge Him in how much? All your ways. When you do that, the result is God will direct your path. Literally, it's to make it smooth or straight. Chapter 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Verse 9, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. God makes your path clear. When you do this, you know, Psalm 25, 28, 9, so that God teaches and He guides the humble. And James 1, 5 says, if you don't know what to do, if you're anyone that lacks wisdom, ask of God. He will give you. He will show you. He will answer and He will make the way plain. He says, He shall direct your paths. And I've highlighted this before, but a path is a worn track, that it's obvious. He will make the way plain. It's almost like the picture that comes to mind for me is it's a bulldozer going through the woods. Pretty easy to see where the track is after that's happened, right? I mean, that is the idea, that once God's guided the way, there's no doubt where you should go. I mean, I grew up in the woods, and it's pretty easy to you start following what you think is a trail that the deer have been going down, and pretty soon it peters out, and you know, you're like, what happened? You'll be climbing mountains, and you think you're on the right track, and you got to backtrack, and wait a second, this isn't right, and find the track again. There's no doubt, when a bulldozer's gone through there, you know where the way is. That's the idea, is that God has made the way plain. He has showed it to us. Contrast that with the ways of the wicked in chapter 2, verse 15, whose ways are crooked and whose are devious in their paths. I mean, they're just whining all over the place, and you don't know which way to follow. Not with God. He makes the way plain. I don't know about you, but I've learned to depend on Google Maps, right? Especially if you're in a city. I mean, I can remember some not great experiences traveling through cities growing up. It was very stressful. We got lost. We get in the worst part of town sometimes. It doesn't happen anymore. It's so much better. And yes, I know Google Maps doesn't always lead you right when you get out on rural roads. But they're getting better all the time. And usually, I mean, don't know where I'm going, pull that up. You know, you find your way pretty quickly. You can ask my girls about me trying to find my own way and through the city of Waterloo the other day. But we got her straightened out. We made it eventually, but your memory isn't always the best, right? You think you know where you are, and then next thing you're, you know, on the other side of town. Wait a second, this road doesn't go the right way, and now I can't, you know. That's when it's time to pull out Google Maps and set yourself straight. Have you learned to depend on God for directions in life? Or are you still trying to follow your own heart, like trying to depend on your memory of what you thought was there? How's that going? There's some tracks we have over here, and It's about, like, how's that working out? And one's for, you know, hunters, one's for bikers, and the other one's for people, cowboys. You know, it's how's life working out? Trusting your own way. Going your own path. How does that work? Not very well, does it? Do you understand that your own way leads to death, as Proverbs 14:12 tells us, and Proverbs 16:25, almost a repetitive verses. You know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We think we're going the right way, and it's leading us down the broad way, which ends in destruction. The other part we have to remember, you know, with our minds and our understanding is, you know, our bodies are affected by sin. That's pretty easy to see, right? That's why we age, we die. We have disease and all this other stuff. But our minds are just as affected by sin. This is why we have aberrant desires. We desire things we shouldn't. I mean, this is where homosexuality, transgender, I mean, and mental health disorders and things come from. It's because your mind is messed up by sin. And there are some people today will say, I'm not going to trust anybody else but my own thinking. Well, your own thinking is messed up. You're going to trust the thing that has led you astray so many times? We need one who has never led us astray, and that's the Word of God, or God through His Word. That's why that Jeremiah 17:8, you know, I read you verses 8 and 9, but verse 10 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Right? That's verse 9. And then the answer is in verse 10, only the Lord. We can even deceive ourselves. We think we're doing right. We think we're such a good person. We're not. were desperately wicked. Are you trusting in God with all your heart, or only some as a last resort? You know, we can't try Jesus, as the theologian Yoda tells us. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Here, I'll go to that first. Theologian Yoda tells us, do or do not, there is no try. Right? I mean, you can't try Jesus. It's if you're going to depend on Him, you have to do it all. It's like kind of like trying to sit down without sitting down. How does that work out? It's a very exhausting experience. If you're trying to hold yourself up in a sitting position, I mean, that's really, really hard. In fact, you won't be able to do it very long. So when you depend, when you trust in Him, that's where you have to totally trust. Oh, I've got to go back and show you this other. So this is what happens when we trust our own heart, right? You know, it's a difficult decision. In times like this, you have to learn to trust your heart. Trust your heart, sweetie. Oh, heart. Okay, heart, what's it going to be? Sin all the time. My kids love this because, you know, it comes out sometimes. That's really where our heart will lead us. It will just keep leading us down a road of sin again and again. Are you trusting in God for salvation and daily living? Are you acknowledging His control over all areas of your life as your Creator and Savior? Ecclesiastes 12 tells us that remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Don't wait till you get old to do this. Remember Him now. Before it uses the pictures of our old age, you know, the grinders wearing down, the hearing of singing going low, and all these, you know, the frost on the head. You know, do remember Him now, and as He sums it up, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. There's coming a day when you will stand before God in judgment, whether at the judgment seat of Christ, as a believer, or even as an unbeliever, especially the great white throne judgment. And you will be called to give account of your life. Because God has made us. He owns the rights to us. We should need to acknowledge Him as our Savior and Lord. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that's Master, Savior, He doubly owns us. He bought us twice. He made us, but then He bought us with His precious blood. And so, this is why there's coming a day when it says, according to Philippians 2, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what He deserves. Are you acknowledging His control over all areas of your life? Or are we trying to control other people? Or if you're trying to control your spouse, your kids, your life. I mean, if COVID has taught us anything, it should be that how little we may have under our control, right? I mean, how many times our life has been disrupted by things that we just can't control? And that's healthy to a certain extent, that God is reminding us how little we can control and how much we need to trust Him, the one who really is in control. Have you seen God making your path straight or smooth as you trust in Him and not yourself? When you follow the Scripture's clear instructions, the big decisions of life, like, you know, where do I go to school, and what job, and what's my career, and who should I marry, and what house should I buy? All these big decisions, they become clear. I don't know about you, but usually when I got to that point, it was pretty obvious what the next step was. As long as you're being faithful in following the clear teaching of God's Word. Are you depending on God for directions? In college, the first semester, I tried to just, you know, you have every class has a syllabus, right? And that tells you what you need to do for that class. And I tried just doing that, right? Just, all right, here's my syllabus, all right, check this syllabus, whatever. But the problem is, you get so many classes, and they all kind of start to fall apart because you forget which class has which quiz on which date, and when is this project due, and this one's going to take this much time to work on it. And so somebody suggested, You go out and you get a big calendar and you write it all on there and you keep that with you all the time so you know when you have things coming due on the same dates or when you have big projects due. And so you don't have to pull these all-nighters, which I unfortunately had to do a few of, because I wasn't being very careful, wasn't being very diligent. And I should have known these things were coming, but, you know, you forget. And so writing them down in that format really helped to see where things were coming due. It was a huge help. Do you see this passage like that as a huge reminder of the things that we need to remember? Do you see the instructions of don't love or lose the instructions? Don't, or we need to dress appropriately and attractively and then depend on God for directions. Will you obey them? Not just to know them, but to obey them. Do you understand what you need to remember? Will you? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its challenge. Help us to live in light of it, I pray. We ask this in Jesus' name.